I'd like to begin by asking you to consider something. What would our duty have been as Christians in Nazi Germany? What would our duty have been as Christians in England when the slave trade was flourishing in our ports? And what does following Christ look like today when the laws of our government have sanctioned the killing of 50 million unborn babies? As some of you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm also an attorney, and I've been working for the past few years on a piece of legislation called the Inalienable Right to Life Act. It recognizes life at conception, and it recognizes basic fundamental rights of unborn children. Last week, this bill passed the House of Delegates in Virginia, and it will be before a hostile Senate committee this coming Thursday, where the prospects don't look so good. But what I want to tell you about today isn't so much about the legal battle as it is about the spiritual battle that rages on this issue in the world, but also in our own hearts. I've always been against legalized abortion, but several years ago, a single conversation led me to begin to do some research on the issue. A year later, at the conclusion of my research, I saw that there were things we could do, things that I could do, to challenge the status quo. But first, there were idols to be confronted in my heart, idols that would keep me out of the battle. First was the simple idol of pleasure. I like to read novels, and I like to watch TV. And often saying yes to the work that God was putting before me meant saying no to these comforts and indulgences that I craved. Next was the idol of pride. What if I made a mistake? What if I got it wrong? What if I got into a room full of legislators and I couldn't answer their question or respond to their challenge? But the most difficult idol for me has been the idol of reputation. It's embarrassing for me to admit it, but deep down, I still want to be one of the popular kids. I want to be respected among my peers. And unfortunately, pro-life activism is not respected in the mainstream legal profession. Even more worrisome to me, what would you guys think of me? Would I be caricatured as a moralist? Would you label me, as the world certainly does, as someone who doesn't care about the plight of the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy? As someone who cares more about passing laws than winning souls? As the Lord called me into action step by step, it has been very clear to me that the choice I had to make was really a simple one. Bow to these idols or follow Christ. To truly follow him means believing that all of these treasures I cling to, my time, my degrees, my fancy resume, my reputation, they are all his. And if they are all consumed in service to him, so be it. The abortion battle is a battle of faith. The enemy would have us believe that there is nothing we can do to have any impact on something so big, so terrible, and ingrained as legalized abortion. And I can assure you that that is a lie. But even beyond that, the essential question is, what kind of God do we serve? Is he an impotent God or a mighty God? Do we not serve the God of Moses, the God of Daniel, the God of David? And if so, why are we so timid? In closing, I just want to ask you to consider this as a possible answer to the question I posed earlier about our duty. Consider that we have the terrifying privilege, and yes, even the duty, to carry the banner of the Most High into a dark world. It is a banner of truth and justice. And do you know what the banner says? It says that abortion is wrong, of course, but it says so much more than that. It says that there is no person too small or insignificant for God. And there's even something else. It says that for the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy, there is hope. And it is not the false hope of a Planned Parenthood clinic. It is real hope, the hope of the one who planned the pregnancy. Brothers and sisters, when we see our Lord face to face one day, I want us to be able to say, Father, it looked impossible to us, and the enemies were daunting, but we carried your banner, and we trusted you for the results.
You can tell we have a sovereign God when an ex-cop is going to pray for a lawyer. So God can do anything, Rita. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful for the call that you have on Rita's life. First and foremost, she's a child of the King. I thank you that she loves you, Father, and she understands the sovereignty of God. And underneath that sovereignty of God, she understands quite clearly that you have a call on her life. I thank you for her courage, her willingness, Father, to fight those internal battles first in order, Father, to bring the gospel to others and to do what she can do as a believer and as a citizen. Bless her, her husband, her children, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we get ready to pray together, I'd love